You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrash and Kill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of The Toilet of Hell Radio. Fucking A, dude. You know what this is. Why do we have to go through, you know, these hoops every time? You know exactly who we are and what this show is, right, Jordan?
People are just reading along as you're saying it. It's like the hits. you got to do it exactly as it's done. Otherwise, people will isolate this and put it on YouTube and be like, see, they have backing introductions. They don't really do it.
I'm terrified of saying the wrong thing. And then people are like going honk, honk, honk at me forever. And I just can't, I can't deal with that. The pressure is too great. Nobody ever talks about how much pressure is put on you when you run a mildly successful metal podcast.
Just have nightmares of people pointing and honking at you and you wake up in a cold sweat.
Exactly. We are, I hope we're not revealing too much behind the curtain here, but we are recording an episode for a future date of which is undetermined. So, nothing timely on this one. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little music focus episode. How does that sound? How does that sound to you, Jordan?
It's my idea, so I think it sounds pretty good. But, yeah. We do this like twice a year where we're like, all right, we actually like things. Let's talk about them.
So this is actually a theme that you and I have been threatening to do for a couple of years now. I want to say this topic first came up when we played, I'm not sure if it was, it might have been Bleed on the show, that band from Dallas. Do you recall that?
Yep, I remember that. I believe you recommended them to me and you're like, you're an old man, you like old things, listen to this.
Yeah, and we got a really, really great response out of a lot of listeners, specifically for Bleed. I have not seen any new music from Bleed, by the way, but that kind of germinated a thing that we started noticing more and more. On a later episode, I played a song by a band called Greet Death, in which you and I were kind of like trying very hard to remember the days of our youth and pulling over to the side of the road because you heard a super sick song on the rock radio that you knew you were never going to hear ever again. And you wanted to like capture that and try to remember bits of it so you could try to find it in the future somehow. All of that to say, there is currently a number of bands doing, I don't know how you would describe it, Jordan. I would say maybe like 90s nostalgia rock in a way that's not like, I don't know, cloying or like a caricature of the days. I find it really great. And I think you do too, right?
I think I would kind of clarify this music or subgenre or whatever. It's just like new alternative.
I think that's fair.
You know, when you go to some of these bands like Bandcamps, Facebooks, they read their bios, you see a lot of different genres being thrown around. Like You'll hear grunge, you'll hear shoegaze, post-rock. And I think that's, we're in a time where like everything has a subgenre to a subgenre. And I think it's kind of breaking things down a little too much to the point where like it doesn't really sound like grunge exactly, or at least not as we like traditionally know it. So I just say like new alternative or even like college radio rock. I think that's just a bigger umbrella and more encompassing, so people don't go like, I don't really like post-hardcore, I'm not going to listen to this, when it's really, it sounds like it's from 1995,
right?
And so that's why I just figured new alternative rock. And also it helps to kind of use some of those terms for when people say rock is dead, because, you know, even we have those feelings sometimes when it's because we don't hear it anywhere else. It's not in the public eye or the public ear. It feels like it's gone away, but we've been discovering really over the past maybe 2-3 years that there are bands out there that are like a four piece and they're guitar based and they're putting out songs that are 3 minutes and 30 seconds that would be huge hits if radio still existed to push these bands out like they did in 1997.
Yeah, those days are unfortunately long gone. And instead, what we have is like a lot of these bands are made up of mostly young people. Some are a little bit older, but they are capturing something that is elusive. Like you were saying, it's a sound, it's a feeling. guitar bass that doesn't seem to exist much anymore. And you know, as much as we've talked about it on the show, rock being dead as fuck and quote unquote alternative radio killing it somewhere in the late 90s, it is kind of just a breath of fresh air to hear all of this stuff. The last time I was excited about like rock bands was more than a decade ago now. Bands like Liquor Store and Diarrhea Planet, those guys have all hung it up, and instead we are getting to these, I don't know, really vibey jams, big guitar based things. You know, I know that I am a guitar supremacist, so all of this stuff is well, not necessarily metal, it is squarely in the wheelhouse of big guitar riffs, and that is deeply important to me.
I think no matter what musical or just even broader entertainment trends that are out there, no matter what's popular in the moment or for a couple of years here and there will always be young people who want to play guitar or hit the drums and express themselves, whether it's sappy love songs or rocking out, frustration, angst, whatever it is, it's a release for a lot of suburban people, city people, rural people. It's kind of all encompassing and really not as exclusionary as some other types of music and entertainment. So there'll always be a garage or a basement where people want to make noise and they can get their $19.95 guitar from Kmart still and just want to sound like and be like the people that, you know, speak to them through music. So there's definitely peaks and there's huge valleys when it comes to guitar-based rock. But I think hearing some of these bands and knowing they're out there kind of makes me feel better in a way. We're not just stuck in, well, everyone's a DJ now on their laptop, or everyone's just on Twitch trying to grift money out of people, or you know, not everyone's in a metalcore band. Some people just want to make a rock song, and it's kind of nice.
I absolutely agree. And I've been straight up jamming the last couple of days, just listening to these bands over and over again. And I don't want to hold out anymore. Let's go ahead and get the first track on here. Jordan, do you want to take it away?
Sure, this is a band that both of us enjoy. It is called Fleshwater. They're a Boston alternative rock band, whatever you want to call it, featuring members of Vane or Vane FM, if you prefer. I guess it's kind of a side band, although if I were to sit them down, this is one of the times where I wish the guy in the suit with the big cigar who worked at the record label still existed, so he could like sit them down and be like, "Kids, look, I don't know what you want to call it, but you got it. This is what you do." Because I kind of feel like they could be, if they wanted to, be like a modern Paramore almost.
Oh,
Maybe
yeah, absolutely.
like a maybe a little bit harder edge to it, but they have just the catchy 2 to 3 minute rock songs. They have good tone that they focus on. They have really good harmonies. The lead vocalist, Marissa Shirar, is just like perfect for alt rock radio. And I think they have so much potential. I was at a record store maybe like 2 months ago, local one, Doom Records, which we've talked about on the show before, that really like caters towards a lot of different subgenres of metal. And as I was just checking out and talking to the guy who runs it, he had the Fleshwater record. He was like inventorying and like, "That's a really good record." It's like, "Yeah, I really enjoy it. Everyone wants to sound like Deftones now." I'm kind of like, "Huh, yeah, good point." But
With this in particular, like I the guy with the big cigar saying like focus on this rather than Vane FM, I totally get it. I feel the same way. I wish Code Orange would have focused on adventures instead of Code Orange.
well, Code Orange is such a interesting look at a band that has changed so much from what they used to be. And I mean, I guess they're happy, and I guess they've
I
found
mean,
some level of success, but they're not what they used to be. And
sure.
I don't know if that was the best move for them.
Yeah, again, our guy with the big cigar was slacking that day.
You know, sometimes, like, obviously, there's all sorts of big problems with record label people screwing over bands and breaking up friendships and relationships and all that. But sometimes they knew what they were doing.
Yep.
And like, granted, they would do it for their own benefit, but there were people who knew what worked. And I feel like if someone, if they had a manager or someone to like just help them out a tiny bit, that you could actually still, even though there's not much rock radio, you could still hear them on that. You could hear them in commercials. And so anyway, we'll play the song.
Yeah.
There's like five songs on their album, We're Not Here to Be Loved, which you do not like the album cover, do you?
Hate the album art. It is horrifying to me. It's a super close-up, extremely contrasted photo of what appears to be, I think, a rubber ducky.
Yes. With their Party Cannon style logo next
yes.
to it, which is,
mm-hmm.
is fun contrast to it.
But I will say that thematically, though, this is exactly what I would see like if I was looking through the Columbia Record Club like catalog from in the 90s. Like, this is one of the edgy records. You could see like it needs a parental advisory sticker on the bottom left, and it'd be right next to like Korn.
This is the type of album that someone would hand to me while leaving a local show, and it has like three songs on it with like a handwritten email address, and it's just, it blows your mind, and then you never hear the band again.
Never again.
So there's like five songs I could have picked from this album that I think really do encapsulate and show off just like what we're talking about with this band. Some of the songs are like 2 minutes long, so I didn't want to just kind of cheap out on that, but songs like Closet or Woohoo or Linda Clare or Kiss the Ladder can like all be really awesome and are good starting points for getting into Fleshwater. But I chose The Razor's Apple, which, great name, two thumbs up for that. That's the kind of name you want to have for your song, which is easily rememberable. And yeah, that's a word. And I like this song because it has the catchy riffs to it. The vocals start within 2 seconds of the song, which is exactly how you do it. It's just over 3 minutes long. And I was at a, actually went to a concert this past week, like the first time in a year and a half, and like the third show I've gone to in 4 years. And I felt every bit of my age just standing there for an hour and a half. Everything hurt. My neck hurt, my back hurt, my shoulders hurt. I wasn't moving. I was just standing there. But listening to this song makes me want to like get up and start moving and dancing and knocking into people again.
Let's go ahead and jam it. Here we go, The Razor's Apple by Fleshwater. What's going on?
Making me sick of the truth.
pretty good stuff there, Jordan. I like these kids got it. They got it. I'm curious to see where they go from here. Like, I know that Vane FM is, you know, definitely more popular than this, but maybe that should not be the case.
Are they on Century Media? Aren't they on a real label of some sort?
I thought they were on Closed Casket, but I could be wrong.
They might be. I'm probably confusing it with one of the five or six other, in quotes, hardcore bands that have broken out over the past couple of years.
Yeah, we can talk about those a little bit later. We will, actually. How about this one? I know that when we're talking about a lot of these bands, it's young people mostly. But this is not. This is guys our age or maybe slightly older. I don't really understand the lyrics of any of these songs that we're talking about. Don't really care to. I get the vibe or whatever. But this one hits me right in the chest. This is a band called Spice, and the song is called All My Best Shit, which I love. I love the title. I think that's fantastic. This is older folks singing about exactly what it feels like to be an old piece of shit. Nothing's really working out anymore, and fuck.
Now what?
What's really notable about this one is, like, number one, like, everything is at a 10 right in your fucking face with all the instruments. But if you listen kind of carefully, there is violin like accentuating all of the guitar riffs, which is super, super sick.
Oh, that's a nice little twist that you don't see with any of these bands.
Showing my age here again, like Super Chunk had a period in like the late 90s where they brought in the violin. So it's like, that's kind of one of the things that I have a reference point in terms of 90s college rock or whatever with this. The video for this one, I think it was done like right at the peak of the pandemic. You know, we're following a guy who's graying, who's looking back at photos of himself as like a hardcore kid, like in the 90s, and like, fuck, I'm just old. It sucks.
That's depressing.
I don't know. I really vibe with this one musically, emotionally, this is my whole shit. Let's go ahead and play. This is All My Best Shit. Spice with All My Best Shit. What do you think about that one?
I like the music. I think it's good. It fits in well with the vibe they're trying to do. I kind of feel like I wish the vocals were maybe a little bit more dynamic, but then I realize, like, this music is coming from a time where you didn't need dynamic vocals. You didn't need to be, you know, a special diamond in the rough or, you know, be a star. It's music from a time where like four people could just get together, make music in a garage in their little suburban hometown and like somehow make it big.
It's a different time for sure. But yeah, this is definite, a throwback. And, you know, I'm sure that the folks making the music were well aware, like this is, you know, we're trying to take you back a little bit, Nige. We are very well aware of how old we are. So, again, as somebody rapidly approaching middle age, I always appreciate somebody that's in that space going ahead and doing it anyway. Let's move on a little bit. You got some more music for us.
My second choice is a band I've been hyping on the Toilet of Hell website for a while. Their latest EP, Death Spell, was one of my top albums of, I believe, 2022, somewhere around there. It's a German band named Entropy. On their Bandcamp, they're one of those bands who throws in a lot of the different genres. It says, trading in heavy shoegaze, indie rock, and grunge. And for me, I'm just like, man, alt rock, good enough.
And that's a lot of things to say, but like what this reminds me most of is like Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I always get the feeling of listening to them, and it's probably because, as I mentioned on the previous show, like growing up in a music heavy area where there are a lot of college stations, and in high school I would just take blank cassettes, and late at night when there were some cool shows going on, punk related, indie rock related, I would just tape off the radio. And especially for some of these shows, the DJ like would let 6 songs play, 10 songs play, and wouldn't always announce who it was.
Oh, that would kill me too, because I'd have like a fucking pen and paper and try to write down like what I could remember of the lyrics from that and try to find it later.
That's like one of those examples was someone played Ulver, like old first stuff Ulver, and for years, this was kind of like almost before Google, where I'm just like, oh, there's this band called Over that plays like folk heavy metal, and like I couldn't find it. And eventually on a message board, someone's like, I think you mean Over, and like that's how you found it. But I still have some of these cassettes where there's songs on it that I really, really like that sound good, and I just have no idea who it is. And even like holding a phone with Shazam up to, you know, a cassette player, it won't pick anything up. So it's just these like blank spots of alt rock and indie rock, and you know, some of them I know and some of them I'll probably never know. And I feel like Entropy, and with the song Death Spell, it fits in super well with that like early 2000s alt rock college station. You know, they have the harmonizing vocals, it's catchy, it's memorable, and you just kind of like want more of that. And it takes me back to like being in high school and being up late and listening to the radio and wanting to capture any of this stuff, because again, this is before Bandcamp, before Facebook, before MySpace, where if you wanted to listen to a new song, like you could listen to maybe a 15 second clip on Real Player. And, you know, good luck to you if you heard something on the radio and they didn't announce who it was, because it's gone forever. So this kind of takes me back to that and hits a really nice spot of, I'm young again and everything is special and feels nice. And, you know, the chorus in this is really good and the riffs in this are really good. And it gives me a happy feeling.
Well, here we do. Let's do this then. Let's play Death Spell by Entropy.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I think that everything we've got here is from America, except for these entropies.
Yeah, who knew Germans still had alt rock out there, and it's not just the Kraftwerk.
They love the drum machine, yeah.
Hey, fun boys.
Let's move on here a little bit. This is a band, actually, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Greet Death. You'll remember I told this story a couple of years ago on the podcast that I found this band because their label Death Wish was selling Mosh shorts for them.
No.
And they are not a Mosh short band at all.
They are not.
I played the song Do You Feel Nothing from their album New Hell a couple of years ago. Love that song. My God, what a fucking banger of a song to me. Absolute hands-down classic. They put out a new record called New Low. It's an EP. It's pretty brief. Most of the songs are this kind of slowcore, mostly acoustic style that, like, Low, for example, that 90s band was famous for. But they do have one electric jammer on this one called Panic Song that I really jam on. I wanted to go ahead and get this one on the pod, just get an update for these guys because I'm interested in their career and where they're going with this. You don't often see music like this from Flint, Michigan, of all places. So
it's them and King A10, right?
Yeah, and Michael Moore, I guess. let's go ahead and let's play Panic Song by Greet Death.
Before the panic's gone,
Now you you listened to this and you found a comparison that I did not immediately catch on to.
I don't know if anyone else does this. I don't know if you do it, but sometimes you'll hear a riff or a tone or even like a pedal or something in a song that you go, I know where this is from. This sounds like something, and it drives you crazy. And like for days, you're trying to like hum it or sing it until it finally pops into your head. And for this song, it didn't, thankfully, it didn't take that long, but it sounded a lot like a Fountains of Wayne song prior to Stacey's Mom, when they were just like a local alt rock band for me that was getting played on 106.3 WHTG, your rock alternative in New Jersey. They had a song called Red Dragon Tattoo that isn't the same as this, but it kind of has that same kind of sound, that like poppy, almost indie alt rock sound from like 1998.
Yeah, I compare the two. I definitely hear it. And again, there are worse things in the world than being compared to a song penned by Adam Schlesinger. Like, that guy really knew how to write a song. So it's not bad. I listened to this, and like in the solo bit, it reminded me distinctly of, and I can't remember if it was a band called Broken Social Scene or Stars that used a very similar solo there. But regardless, like, just got, you know, good time and young vibes from it, despite the fact that this is not a good timing song.
I think with especially songs of this kind of sound, your general alt rock, Third Eye Blind, their biggest hit, is about doing meth. So I think it's kind of an era of like maybe where the message was kind of obscured by just banger music.
I support that. We should go back to that. If you're writing a sad song, I don't fucking care. Give me a nice melody, goddammit. This is me with a big cigar right now.
I mean, geez, Ben Folds Five's biggest song was about forcing his girlfriend to have an abortion, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. The second best abortion song that was a big hit in the 90s, Slide by the Goo Goo Dolls, is, of course, the best one. Let's play a little bit of music here.
So my last choice for this episode is a band I completely found by accident. I'll tell a story. Going back into my freshman year of college, it was the first time I had like fast internet. So I was just kind of going on Kazaa and getting all sorts of different music. And this is also not too long after like watching a lot of Much Music and discovering a lot of alt rock and nu metal and other heavy metal bands, a lot of Canadian ones as well. And after downloading a song from a band that I really liked, the song was called, what the hell was the song called? Bring You Down. And after like that computer had long since died, I just remembered like the chorus of it, but it's so hard to Google Bring You Down song.
Don't bring me down.
It could be anything. And so, you know, years and years went by with this like chorus in my head. I couldn't find it. By accident, just like Googling around, I was able to find out the band was named Reach of Trust, for all of you Canadian alt rock fans from the early 2000s. And through that, I was able to find on YouTube, someone uploaded the entire album. It's not on Spotify, not on iTunes. It was just one of those things where like, oh, it doesn't exist unless you like have the CD. So thankfully YouTube came through and someone uploaded the full album. I was able to listen to that and kind of relive some of my early college years. So that was fun. But this person who uploaded that has also, that's their thing, is just uploading obscure nu metal, alt rock, late 90s, early 2000s albums, demos, all sorts of stuff. And just flipping through, trying to listen to things or like see albums that look familiar. It's like, oh, wow, I remember seeing this. What do they sound like? Oh, okay, never mind. And just giving lots of different bands a chance when, you know, you don't really feel like listening to any of the music you already have. So you're just going to try something else. And that's how I discovered this band from Philadelphia, A Sky So Black. And while a lot of the songs we played so far in this show are like late 90s, sort of mid 90s, late 90s alt rock, this is more like early 2000s alt rock coming into like emo rock, pop emo, that sort of thing. And I end up really enjoying it. The song we're gonna play is "Waiting for a Hearse," which I mean is really in that sweet spot of I'm in my feelings. I feel bad, which is listening to this and their more recent album "Autumn in the Water," it's. I feel like if this came out in 2007, I would have been like, oh, this is old. This is people have done this before, but it's been so long, it feels new and refreshing again.
So it's really funny. Like everything is timing, boys. Congrats, you're new and fresh again.
It really is. We've talked about like hardcore before, where now we're back to just like the two note breakdown, and people are just losing their minds at dun dun. It's like, man, I remember that. We were making fun of that in 2005, but it's new again. Here's a whole new generation, and you haven't heard it in 10 years. So it's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of fun. So it's a little bit of that when hearing this song. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember having feelings. I have them every day now. I'm saying I've built up a shell, and A Sky So Black broke that shell, and now I'm feeling things again.
Well, see a doctor maybe. I don't think that's normal. No, this one's good. It's funny to see a new or current band describe themselves as emo and still have like a bit of, I don't know, nuance or complexity to it, and not like this fucking freak that people keep showing me of TikTok videos where he's like, I'm the most emo guy, I'll fucking slit my wrists or whatever. If anybody knows what the fuck I'm talking about, I'm sorry. It's just this horrible little man. Because there is currently a emo revival that is parody of what we were dealing with in the mid-2000s, Jordan.
Right, this isn't the swoopy haircut, the eyeliner, what like emo became and became a cliche. That's not what I mean when I say emo. We're taking it back to like before that.
But why don't we give it a listen here? This is, sorry, what song is this?
Waiting for a Hearse.
Waiting for a Hearse by A Sky So Black. One word.
Calendar on my
Okay. Let's close this out here. We have one final song. I had a toss up here of headbands. I couldn't decide whether to do Fiddlehead or Narrowhead, which are both current bands that are fairly popular, with very similar names. But the deciding factor here, of course, Fiddlehead is from Massachusetts. Boo! And Narrowhead is from Texas. Yay! this is a band that has seen I have no judge of relative popularity whatsoever, but I feel like the scumbags that I know this band. So that surely means something, right?
Yeah, I think out of like most of the bands that we've talked about here, they're probably, you know, I hesitate to use the word biggest, but maybe the most well-known, or their name has been thrown about when people are looking into this music, like on the same level maybe as like Fleshwater, mm-hmm. in terms of like showing up on actual festivals. If you ever like try to look up bands that sound like this sort of thing, they're one of the names that come up.
Yeah. They put out a record last year, Moments of Clarity, that is, boy, it is kind of like a fascinating overview of 90s alternative rock, because you have songs that go from kind of that early Jimmy Eat World vibe to things that sound more akin to, again, something like a Stone Temple Pilots. It is maybe a symptom that these guys are, you know, younger. They're a little bit more agnostic towards, you know, how people fit into those molds back then, where everything just kind of runs together. So you have a lot of variety throughout this. And again, I do get touches of Bleed as well, fellow Texas band. For this one, though, Sunday is the track that really grooves me the most here. And I think that it's an appropriate one to close this show off on. Is there anything that you would like to add before we play this one and get out of here?
I just want to point out that I think the album art for Narrowhead's Moments of Clarity is like a perfect encapsulation of like 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It's the color usage, the way it's set up, the font they have for their name, the font that's used for the title. This could have been in an FYE in 1998.
Absolutely. And that's important. You got to consider your aesthetic when you're doing all of this. So same thing with the horrible artwork that Fleshwater used. Again, appropriate time period, appropriate piece. Well, Jordan, before we play this, I think there's something we should let people know, though, right?
You can email us at toadofhell@gmail.com. You can email us at toadofhellradio@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter. And if you like this show and you want more of it and you want special mixtapes handmade by Joe and other members of Toilet of Hell, you can sign up patreon.com/toiletofhell. We have hours and hours and hours of extra podcasts for a very low, affordable price. We also, I believe, still have a few t-shirts and stickers if anyone is interested in them.
Oh, yeah. I've got I think I've got 10 t-shirts left in various sizes. So email us if you want one of those. I'll get it to you. Okay. Well, hey, let's listen to Sunday by Narrowhead, and then let's get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.